Well, church, we know that our theme for this year is building on the vision. Building on the vision. What does this theme mean for us as a local church? This theme is our blueprint for moving forward in dark, unstable, and troubling times. That word build simply means to frame. It means to construct, and it means to erect on a foundation. To frame, to construct, or erect on a foundation. To build means to establish, increase, or strengthen. To establish, increase, or strengthen. We know that that word vision means divine communication that gives sight. Vision is divine communication that gives sight. It is divine revelation. It is the revelation of God's will. So when we talk about building on the vision, whenever we build on the vision, it means that we will establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming to God's will for us as a church. What is God's will for us? What is our vision? We know that our vision is to be a church patterned after the church at Philippi. We are to be a people that loves God. We are to be a people that hates sin. And we are to be a people that loves to give. Church, our theme scripture is Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We know in this scripture that the Apostle Paul writes this exhortation to the church at Philippi while he is imprisoned in Rome. As Paul exhorts the church, he reflects on his own life and he admits that he had not yet accomplished all that he desired to accomplish in his Christian walk, but that he was striving to lay hold of the spiritual prize because Jesus Christ had first laid hold of him. There we pick up in verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Church, this scripture gives us our attitude and our approach to this year's theme. Church, we have to know and understand that we have not yet arrived, that there are some things in our life that God would like to do. There are some things that God would like to accomplish in and with our lives. We, like Paul, have not yet arrived. So in these dark and troubling days, we must build on the vision. We must conform our lives to God's will. We must obey God's instructions for our life. We must endeavor to do all that is within us to love God, to hate sin, and to love to give. Church, that means we must forget those things that are behind. We have to forget the past. Turn away from our former life. Turn away from our past ideals and opinions. Turn away from our habits and pursuits. We must turn away from the past. Turn away from our past failures. Turn away from our past disappointments, fears, and anxieties. We have to leave it all behind. We have to forget those things which are behind, and we must reach for what is before us. What is in front of us? It is the will of God. We must stretch ourselves toward the will of God that is before us and focus on God's instructions. If you have life and breath in your body, you have another opportunity to get it right with a holy God. We must stretch forth to what is before. We must listen intently this year. And this year, we must make every effort to learn and understand our vision. We must learn what it means to love God. We must learn and know what it means to hate sin. We must learn what it means to love to give, and we must focus on what we learn. We have to forget those things that are behind. We must reach for that which is before us. And church, we have to press. We have to press toward the mark. We have to have an urgency to obey. We must make it our priority to establish a relationship with the things that we learn. Can't just hear it and set it aside. We must determine to do what we are taught immediately so that we can manifest the vision to a lost and dying world. Church, when we build on the vision, when we conform our lives to God's instructions to love Him, to hate sin, to love to give, God promises that He will establish our life, He will elevate our life, and He will strengthen our life. And God promises that He will strengthen, refresh, and revive the church. But to do all that God has called us to do this year, church, we must first understand the significance of our vision. Church, we are in part two of our series, Our Vision. Our Vision. The intent of this series, I want to teach us the significance of our vision. I want to teach us the significance of our vision. The purpose of this series is that we understand why we must build on the vision. We want to know and understand why we must build on the vision. We have seven objectives in this series. I want to teach us our vision's number one origin. I want to teach us our vision's origin. In our second objective, we will learn our vision's purpose. We must know and understand our vision's purpose. In our third objective, we will learn and understand our vision's power. We will learn and understand our vision's power. From there, we will learn our vision's benefit. We will learn our vision's benefit. In our fifth objective, we will learn our vision's relevance. We will learn our vision's relevance. Then from there, we will learn our vision's adequacy. We will learn our vision's adequacy. And in our seventh and our final objective, we will learn our vision's effect. Our vision's effect. So I'm going to teach us in this series our vision's origin, its purpose, its power, its benefit, its relevance, its adequacy, and its effect. The goal of this series is simply that we commit to the work. So what did we learn last week in our first objective, our vision's origin? We learned that our vision is significant because of its origin. Our vision comes from God. And that's significant. Our vision comes from God. Vision is divine communication that gives sight. It's not what we make up. It's not what we put on a board. It is divine communication that gives sight. It is divine revelation, the revelation or the revealing of God's will to us. Church, our vision is God's communicated will to us. God's communicated will, His will for us as a church, is that we love Him, that we hate sin, and that we love to give. Our vision is not a cute slogan or motto. It is not a church saying. Our vision is God's communicated will for us. And because our vision is extracted from the Word of God, it succinctly expresses our doctrine. In other words, our vision summarizes our doctrine in a way we can easily understand and recall to mind. It doesn't replace our doctrine. It is a guidepost that points to our doctrine so that I might learn in the Word of God what it means to love Him, what it means to hate sin, and what it means to love to give. Church, that means we must respect our vision. We must respect it. We must acknowledge it for what it is. It is God communicating to us. And He is communicating His will for us and His will for our lives. We must prize and value it. We must esteem it worthy of understanding and worthy of conforming our life to. We must respect our vision. Then, church, we learn that we must regard our vision. We must regard our vision. We can't just acknowledge our vision. We must regard it. That is, we must give attention to it. I can't just assume that I have conformed to the vision, that I love God, that I hate sin, and that I love to give. I must strive to learn what it means. I have to give my attention to it. We must respect it. We must regard it. And we must respond. We must respond to our vision. That word respond, remember we said to answer back with obedience. Church, whenever God communicates to us, whenever He tells us what His will for us is, the only acceptable response is obedience. It is not acceptable to answer back with excuses. It is not acceptable to answer back with denial. It is not acceptable to answer back with complaining. The only acceptable response to God when He speaks in our life, the only acceptable response is obedience. Church, I didn't share this last week, but you want to put this in your notes. Obedience is how we build. Obedience is how we build. We establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives through obedience. We establish, elevate, and strengthen our lives by conforming our lives, adapting our lives to God's communicated will for our lives. We have to respond with obedience. Church, that brings us to our second objective. Our objective for this morning. Today we want to learn our vision's purpose. Our vision's purpose. The subtitle for today's message is, If Only. If Only. Turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy chapter 5. Church, our vision is significant because of its origin. Our vision comes from God. But our vision is significant because of its purpose. What do I mean by purpose? That word purpose simply means the reason for which something exists. The reason for which something exists. It is the intended or desired end, result, aim or goal. Purpose is the reason for which something exists. It is the intended or desired end, result, aim or goal. What is the purpose of our vision? Church, the purpose of our vision is that we might have sight. The purpose of our vision is that we might have sight. I'm not talking about natural sight. God communicates His will for us so that we might have spiritual sight. In other words, so that we might know how to live and navigate the dark, confusing, and difficult world in which we live. That's spiritual sight. God wants us to know how to live, how to navigate, how to make it through the difficult and dark and confusing world in which we live. The purpose of our vision is that we may have sight. Divine communication that gives sight. Church, we have to understand this, that God speaks to us so that we might see clearly. God speaks to us so that we might learn who He is and what He requires. He speaks to us so that we might know that God is holy and that He requires holiness from us. He speaks to us that we might know and learn and understand who we are and the way to salvation. See, God communicates to us His will, and He communicates the fact that we are all born in sin and that we need a Savior, and that our Savior is Jesus. See, He's pointing us in the right way. God speaks so that we might know how to live upright before Him. And when you live upright before God, you receive the blessings that come from righteousness. He's trying to get us to see. Church, God speaks to us so that we might grasp His promises, so that when we are going through difficult and troubling times, that we can hold on to what God has promised us and be encouraged. God speaks to us so that we are able to discern good from bad, right from wrong, truth from error. Why? So that we are not destroyed. So that we are not led away by people and false doctrine. See, God speaks to us so that we might see. He speaks to us so that we might perceive His presence in our life when we're going through a difficult time, when we feel like we are all alone and that nobody understands and nobody cares about us. He speaks to us so that we might perceive that He is with us, that He has never left us, and that He won't forsake us. He speaks to us so that we can recognize when we fall short, when we are deviating from the path that He has set before us. See, church, God communicates His will for us so that we might have spiritual sight. Now, for some of us, that does not seem that big of a deal because we don't appreciate what spiritual sight does. When we have spiritual sight, we have success. Spiritual sight brings you success. See, when we know what God requires, when we know how to live and navigate this difficult world that we're in, when we can lay hold to God's promises when we are being pressed on every side, when we can perceive God's presence in our life when we are going through difficulties, when we can discern clearly good from bad, truth from error, right from wrong, we can have success. Our lives can be established, elevated, and strengthened. Church, God communicates His will for us so that we might have spiritual sight. And when we have spiritual sight, we will have success. That means I cannot keep turning away when God speaks. Can't keep doing it. The problem for many of us right now is that we turn away from the voice of God. Oh, we hear Him. We even repeat what He says. But we have not respected, regarded, or responded to God's communicated will. See, God is communicating His will to us, but we avoid it. You know, we avoid it. That's why we take time off from church. We avoid it. or we disregard it. I don't want to hear it. I'm not trying to hear it. Or when God communicates his will to us, we alter it. He says one thing, and by the time we add on to it, our view, our opinion, what we think about the word of God, we have changed the communication altogether. And sometimes, church, we just resist it. We hear it and we resist. I don't want to receive it. I know it's true. I know I need to change, but I don't want to receive it. So we avoid it. We disregard it. We alter it and we resist it. And then we struggle. And we wonder why we struggle. And we go about our life and we say, God, why don't you help me? God, why don't you do something for me? We are going along in our life and we are struggling. And we say, see, I'm praying to God. I'm asking him for help. And he's just not hearing me. He's not responding to me. It's not that God doesn't hear you. It's that you don't hear God. You don't hear God that you might live. Your Bible should be in Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to read one verse, verse 29. Let me give you the context for this scripture. The children of Israel are coming to the end of their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. They were wandering as a result of their failure to trust and obey God. So they just kept going around in circles, just like some of us. And Moses prepares them to enter into the promised land that God had promised them. And as he prepares them, he reminds them of the covenant that they entered into with God. See, after they escaped from Egypt, God communicated his divine will for them. And he did it many years prior, almost 40 years before. God gave them commandments, statutes, judgments, and ordinances. He gave them a lot. He gave them commandments, statutes, judgments, and ordinances. And he said, this is my will for you. This is what I want you to live by. So now here on the verge of the promised land, Moses reminds them many years later that they heard what God said, that they received the commandments, statutes, judgments, and ordinances, and that they promised that they would hear God and obey him. And yet God knew that they would not. God knew that they would break their promise to him. And this is what he says in verse 29. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. He says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. That word, short word, oh, means if only. If only. If only. That phrase, if only, expresses an unrealized desire. God was expressing an unrealized desire. If only. If only these people of mine. See, these were God's people. If only these people of mine had a mind and a heart that was in them to reverence me and do what I tell them to do so that it might be well with them and their children forever. If they would just obey me, that's what God is saying. If they would just obey me, if only they would obey me, then it would be well with them. It would be well with them and with their children. Church, that's what God is saying about us. That brings us to our points for this morning. Church, if only we, point number one, understood. If only we understood. That word understand means to grasp or to realize. If only we understood. Church, if only we understood that God communicates His will to us because He loves us. If we could just grasp that. If we could just realize it. If only we could understand that. That He tells us what we must do because He loves us. If we understood that, we would have respect for His word. Read the scripture again. He says, "Oh, that there were such an heart in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." This is a statement of earnest love. It's a statement of almost desperate love. God so desperately loved them that He says this, that if I could just get through their rebellious heart, if I could just pierce through their stubborn mind, if I could just get through so that they would know and understand that everything I tell them, everything that I command them, it is for their good, that my commandments, my statutes, my judgments, and my ordinances, I give them to them so that it might be well with them and their children forever. That was His desire for the children of Israel, and that is God's desire for us. God communicates His will out of His love for us. His instructions to us are rooted in love. God is telling us this year we must go back to the original instructions, the things that He told us, that we must learn to love Him, to hate sin and love to give. Why? So that it might be well with us. He does this because He loves us. His instructions to us are rooted in love. But see, we don't like to hear when God speaks. We don't like to hear when God speaks. Or we like religious entertainment. We like to hear that God favors me. We like to hear I'm the head and not the tail. We like to hear slap somebody and tell them I'm on my way, that this is my season. We like to hear all of this stuff and this garbage and this mess. We like to hear Christian entertainment, religious entertainment, but we don't like it when God speaks. We don't like it because we don't want God to cause us to face ourselves, to see ourselves correctly. We want to do what the world does and blame all of our issues and our problems on everybody else. It is the white man's fault for my problems. It is the black man's fault for my problems. Everybody else is to blame. We don't like it when God speaks because we don't want to see ourselves correctly. We don't like it when God speaks because we don't want to face reality. We don't want to look at our life and discover how our life is a result of the decisions that we made. We don't like it when God speaks because we don't like the sting of correction. But if only we understood that God speaks to us because He loves us. If only we understood that God desires good things for us and our lives. If only we understood that God wants us to succeed and not fail. If only we realized that God has something better for us than the tattered life that we are holding on to. If only we understood that God is not trying to take our life away. He is trying to give us a better life. If we understood that, then perhaps we would not be hell-bent on doing it our way, determined to hold on to a doomed way of life. That's what many of us are doing. We are holding on to a doomed way of life. We cannot get anywhere with the way that we're living, but we won't let it go. We are hell-bent to do it our way, and we don't understand why God won't fix everything in our life, but we will not hear Him. Determined to hold on to a doomed way of life, partying, sleeping around, drinking, getting high, it's doomed. Where are you going with that? Lying, fussing, cussing, it's doomed. Where are you going with that? Living a worldly and prideful life, being high-minded and intellectually sophisticated, it is doomed. Where are you going with that? Chasing money, chasing cars, chasing material, it is doomed. When you get it, where are you going with that? We are obsessing over silly stuff, caught up in meaningless drama on our social media. It is all doomed. Where are you going with that? Living in the moment, living childish, self-centered, and selfish lives when we are at an age and a point where we should be fully grown, doomed. Where are you going with that life? Living like hypocrites. Come to church, have a Bible, one foot in, but fully engulfed in the world. It is a doomed way of life. Where are you going with that? It will doom you and it will doom your children. It will make you empty. It will cause you shame. It will add to your guilt before God. And that way of life will ultimately, it will destroy your body and it will destroy your mind. And all on the way, it's going to rob you of your peace. But God is still speaking. And he's still speaking because he loves us. He's saying, if only you understood that I have communicated my will so that you might have a better life, then maybe you would really learn what it means to love God, hate sin, and love to give, so that I might establish you, elevate you, regardless of where you are, and strengthen your life. Church, if only we understood, and if only we, point number two, listened. If only we understood, and if only we listened. To listen simply means to hear, pay close attention to, or to give ear. It means to hear, pay close attention to. It means to give ear. Church, if we only heard God when he speaks, paid close attention to him, gave him our ear, paid attention to his word, his will, his instructions for our life, then God would give us direction for our life. If only we would pay attention, give ear to God's word, his will, and his instructions, he would give us direction for our lives. If we hear, God will give us the direction that we're looking for. If we hear, if we listen, we'll obtain the answers that we are searching for. All of us are looking for direction, and all of us are searching for answers. And if we give our ear to God's word, we'll receive the direction and the answers that we're looking for. Why? Because it's vision, divine communication that gives sight. Direction and answers are in God's word. But we must listen. We must hear, pay close attention, give ear. That means, church, that we must follow Jesus Christ. Well, what do you mean, Pastor? I was with you up until that last statement. You're telling me to hear, to pay close attention? I have to follow Jesus Christ. What do you mean by that? See, we have to understand, I cannot live however I want to live and occasionally throw up a prayer and get direction from God. I cannot, hear what I'm saying, live however I want to live, occasionally throw up a prayer and get direction from God. It does not work that way. God is not your horoscope. And he is not the psychic hotline where I just go to him and say, hey, give me some information. Hey, tell me what to do. Hey, I need a little word right here. It does not work that way. I must listen to him. And to listen to God means I have to walk with him. See, I listen by being a follower of Jesus Christ. I have to be a follower because that's what a follower does. Isn't that what you do on your social media? You follow. You listen to whatever garbage somebody is feeding you. That's what a follower does. They listen. A follower is one who attends closely to the teachings of another. That's listening. A follower is one who attends closely to the teachings of another. Church, do you know why so many people bear the label of Christian, yet live a directionless, messed up life? It is because they wear the label. They are Christian in name only, and they are not followers of Jesus Christ. They are not following him. Oh, they're following something. Many of us are following all kinds of things. We're following poems. We're following daily devotionals, the daily prayer that somebody else wrote. You send to somebody else and say, read this prayer, pray this prayer for you today. Is that the prayer you need to pray? We're following all kinds of things, inspirational sayings. And most of these inspirational sayings that we float around and give to each other, they are unscriptural, they are unbiblical, and they are wrong. So we are following all kinds of things that don't help us. But if we are going to get direction and answers for our life, we must be followers of Jesus. We don't like to hear that because we want to treat God like a horoscope. We want to treat him like a psychic hotline. God, just tell me what I want to know and then leave me alone. But we have to be followers, closely attend to his words so that we might know how to live and make it in this world. So what does that mean for us? It means that we have to make a choice. I need to choose. Church, there comes a point in a time we need to choose. We are all wrapped up in the world, wrapped up in the world's way, following stuff that is of the world, that is not of God. We need to choose. I need to make a choice. Who am I going to follow? Who's going to give you direction for your life? You can't get direction from God and social media. Can't work. You have to choose. Today, we need to make a choice. Am I going to be the blind led by the blind? Or am I going to let God lead me and give me direction and answers to my life so that I can be established, elevated, and strengthened? We have to choose. All of this foolishness that we are being caught up in, that is informing our thinking, causing us to make decisions, life-changing decisions. How are you going to make a life-changing decision from what somebody shared with you on social media? You don't even know who they are. We need to make a choice and get back on track with our life. So we need to either choose, either I'm going to follow Jesus or I'm going to follow the world, because I cannot do both. But understand that the people that you are following, that they are not what they pretend to be, that they are lying to make a name for themselves, telling you things that are not true, and you are taking that untruth and you are sharing it with other people. They don't care about you, and they cannot fix your life. They are opportunistic pretenders that you are getting caught up in. God has proven how much he loves you. What else does God have to do to show us that he loves us? He gave us his son. And yet I'm going to go with someone who does not know me or care anything about me. Opportunistic pretenders. They're not helping us. They don't fix us. They can't tell us the truth. And truth be told, if you stop and look at your life, if you step back, ask yourself, how has following all of this mess and this stuff on social media, how has it helped my life? It has not. It has led you to a dark, angry, confused, and lonely place. Some of us, we received the word of God and we were doing all right. Then we got caught up into opportunistic pretenders. Now we can't think straight. We don't know our head from our tail because we are being led by people who don't know the truth and cannot help us. We have to choose. Who am I going to listen to? Church, if only we understood that God speaks to us. He gives us his will because he loves us. If we understood that, we would have respect for God's word. If only we listened, then we would receive the direction and answers we need for our lives. And if only we, point number three, obeyed. If only we understood, if only we listened, and if only we obeyed. To obey is to accept, embrace, and live by. To accept, embrace, and live by. To accept, that is to agree. Embrace, that is to welcome, to lay hold of, hold on tightly. To live by, to do as God instructed. That's what it means to obey. Church, if only we obeyed, if only we accepted and embraced God's will for our lives, if only we lived by his instructions, it would be well with us and well with our children. If only we accepted, embraced God's will for our lives. If only we lived by his instructions, it would be well with us and well with our children. What is God's will for our lives? His will is that we love him, that we desire him above everything. His will is that we hate sin, that we turn away from sin and unrighteousness and enter into a right relationship with him through Jesus Christ. His will is that we love to give, that we surrender our lives for his use and his purpose, so that we joyfully give ourselves in the service of the Lord. And church, his will is that through our obedience, we would experience the blessings that come from being in right relationship with him. That is his will. His will is that through our obedience, when we love God, hate sin, love to give, that we experience the blessings that come from being in right relationship with him. What are the blessings that come from loving God, hating sin, loving to give? There are so many, too many to count, but here are some of the blessings that come. We experience freedom. Freedom from the guilt of our past. Freedom from the shame of our past. We experience freedom from the bondage of sin. God breaks our addictions. He breaks our self-destructive behaviors and habits. He frees us of that. We experience the love of God and the fellowship of his Spirit. See, when I come into right relationship with God, then he causes me to know that I'm loved. No longer do I live my life feeling like I'm alone, that nobody cares about me, that nobody values me, that I don't have value or purpose in life. I feel the love of God and the fellowship of His Spirit. I know that my life is worth something. I know that God loves me, that I am special to Him. See, when we enter into a right relationship with God, we receive His grace for our weaknesses. So that means I don't have to try to muscle through life, because I have some weaknesses, some areas of my life that I'm not strong. But then God gives me grace. That is, He puts His strength on top of my weakness so that my weaknesses don't do me in. We receive strength for our trials and our challenges. God empowers us. He strengthens us with might in our inner man by His Spirit so that we can get up day by day and deal with the trials and the challenges of life. And we go through life and we look back and we say, God, I don't know how I made it. I don't know how I dealt with that trial. I don't know how I came through that challenge. It is because He strengthened me in the relationship. See, in the relationship, He gives us wisdom. When I get on my knees and I say, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I don't know how to raise my children. I don't know how to deal with this problem on my job. I don't know how to fix these past mistakes that I have made. God gives us wisdom. He gives us guidance so that our life can be reestablished. See, in the relationship comes discernment. That is, God causes us to know and understand the truth so that He keeps us from the traps and the pitfalls of life, and they are many. He keeps us from the traps of those bad relationships. He's the one that says, that person is no good for you. He keeps us from the pitfalls of life, from falling into error and false doctrine. God does that when we are in right relationship with Him. When we are in relationship with Him, He makes us well and right on the inside. Regardless of what happens on the outside, He gives us peace for our mind, hope for our heart, joy for our soul. That's what happens when we love God, when we hate sin, when we love to give. Church, look at the scripture one more time. Oh, that there were such an heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. If only I learn to love God, hate sin, and love to give so that it might be well with me and my children. You might say, well, Pastor, I hear what you're saying and I want to obey, but I just really don't know that it's possible. It seems downright impossible. I've tried to do the right thing in the past and I fail. It's impossible. I've tried to live the way that I should and it just didn't work out. It just seems impossible, Pastor, for me to do what God is saying that I must do so that it will be well with me. And you are right, it is impossible. It is impossible for us to do in our own strength, in our own effort. It is impossible for us to do on our own. But Jesus Christ has made the impossible possible, because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the earth, joined His divinity to humanity, wrapped Himself up in human flesh, lived a perfect life for us, went to the cross and died in our place. He took your place on the cross. He took my place on the cross. He died so that we might have life. When He gave up His life on the cross, when He received judgment in His body for our sins were forgiven when we placed our trust in Him. Our sins were washed away, and God gave us new life. He gave us a new heart, a new desire, a desire to worship Him, a desire to love Him, a desire to serve Him. Then He gave us a new spirit, a new way of thinking, a new way of living our life. He gave us a new strength. That is, He gives us the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And so we have a power when we are saved on the inside of us that we did not have before we gave our life to Christ. And so when we give our life to Christ, we can do what we could not do before we entered into that relationship. And when we have the indwelling presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, we are enabled. We can understand. We can understand that God speaks to us because He loves us. We are able to listen. We're able to hear clearly what God is saying to us because we have become followers of Christ, and we are able to obey through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we rely on Him, when we yield to Him and we say, God, I can't do it in my own strength, but if You give me the strength on today, I will do what You called me to do. I will do what You tell me to do. And day by day, my obedience will lead to a place where my life is established. My life is elevated. My life is strengthened. And then I look up and my life is changed altogether. I'm not what I used to be. I'm altogether different. I'm altogether new. Why? Because God has made me new. Church, this year we're going to build on the vision. Our vision is not a slogan. It is not a motto. Our division is divine communication. It comes from God. It is extracted from the Word of God. It reveals the will of God and guides us to our doctrine. And our vision is divine communication that gives sight. Church, it causes us to have spiritual sight so that we might have success, so that we might not be turned away and fall and fail in our life. Church, don't avoid it. Don't disregard it. Don't alter it and don't resist it. If only we understood that God communicates with us because He loves us. If only we understood that we would respect His word. If only we would listen when God speaks to us, we would receive direction and answers for our life. And if only we obey, it would be well with us and it would be well with our children. Church, we must build on the vision. If we learn to love God, hate sin, and love to give, God will establish, elevate, and strengthen us. And God will strengthen, refresh, and revive His church. Amen.